podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Oh, it's a goal. Who got the assist? Who got the assist?
Hello everyone, what a fun weekend. Yes, we're back as FPL returns and the running kicks off with a high scoring game. We've got relatively high scoring, but high scoring enough for us. And we're here to reflect on how our shiny new teams perform post wildcard as we begin to implement our planning. I'm sure you all will as well, and hopefully break towards top 100k at least. Yes, Sam, I'm embracing optimism for once. It's all good. It's all shiny. It's all fantastic. And as you can guess, I'm joined by Sam as always. Hope you're good, mate. You said to me on the Friday you were stuck in Southampton trying to desperately find a way home after the match. Hope you're all rested up and ready to go now.
Yeah, all good. I mean, being stuck at Southampton train station for about 2 hours wasn't ideal, but it did sober me up enough to get home and have a good night's sleep without a hangover the next day. So woke up on Saturday feeling fresh, and it's been a good weekend. Obviously, we'll go into our wild cards in just a moment's time, but I think we're both in a pretty good mood right now. In the meantime, though, we are Who Got the Assist. On today's pod, we're hoping it'll be a bit of a shorter one, but we always say that, and then it ends up being an hour and a half anyway, so apologies in advance if we do natter on. But today, due to the tight turnaround, we'll be reflecting on game week 30 and a bit of talk about the final decisions that we made in terms of wildcarding last game week. And just to update you mainly, but also the wider discussions on what will happen next for people on most of the main pathways. We'll also be having a look ahead to game week 31 as per normal. Lots of decisions being made alongside a few wildcards being active, no doubt, in the aftermath of the game week that's just concluded. It is Sunday, the 31st of March, Easter Sunday, if you're in the UK especially. Game week is over. The next deadline is coming up very, very fast, though. So no time to waste.
No, indeed not. Right. Well, scores on the door, Samuel. And yeah, it was a good week for both of us, wasn't it? I'm first. So yeah, 73 all out for me, up from 265k to 165k, which is obviously very positive. Yeah, just a generally a very strong wildcard week. It's always what you want, isn't it? Just to have that hefty green arrow. I think it's 26%. Sorry, it was 225k up to 165k. But yeah, hefty green arrow, 27%. Key performers being Sonny, captain, last minute sort of goal. I was driving back, Sam, from my mum's house, and I saw that a few texts came in from you, like I saw on the dashboard of my car, and I thought, right, that's either a Son goal or that's a red card or a missed penalty. So it's just kind of like, yeah, Schrodinger's cat until I got back. So
things have happened.
Yeah, I'm not going to read my text until I got home. I just saw Son with, like, you know, the raised hands, and I was just like, yes, get in. And then I had to go and get the baby and bring her in as well before. But yeah, I was very happy with that. I was 50-50 between Son and Salah. So, you know, the whole shebang the last few weeks has been about getting Salah this week and captaining him. I was 50-50 between those two, and decided to go with Son in the end just because Richarlison, his fitness wasn't kind of before the game week entirely clear. And I thought, you know what, if there's a good chance that Son's going to play centre forward, let's just go with that. Luton's XGC, as you spoke about a few 2 weeks ago now, or two pods ago at least, is the worst in the league. So that's definitely worth a bang on, which is absolutely good. I was very happy to kind of win out on that. I think it's like a six point difference, depending on who you captains. I'm happy with that. Didn't consider Palmer for the captaincy, but obviously he was the best captain. But the big story for both of us, really, wildcarding this week, was Isak with 15 points. Two penalties and the assist, absolutely brilliant. You know, it set the tone really for the weekend with the penalty scored within, it was like kind of 5 or 6 minutes, wasn't it, of the Newcastle game, and that kind of set us kind of on the road. Maybe, and we'll talk about this in a minute, maybe double Chelsea defence was a bit of a mistake, but luckily, you know, we're not going to hopefully need to worry about Gusto for too much of the next kind of couple of weeks, at least with Gabriel able to step in. A couple of injuries already, so Lascelles, who we both have on our wild cards, has been ruled out for the rest of the season. So cheap 3.9 million defender. Ooh, we need to work that one out, especially with not very much in the bank. I mean, these are small byproducts. I mean, really happy, and ultimately we dodged it. Watkins going off at half time, he was the main kind of rank threat. I know Solanke scored, but he got yellow card too. But yeah, Watkins going off at half time in the Aston Villa game. I'm really sorry if you don't own Watkins and were relying on him this week. For us who've just wildcarded and had sold Watkins, that was a proper fist pump moment, I'm afraid. Not that we're celebrating injuries, but you know, I hope he's back soon. I hope he's absolutely fine. But in terms of the FPL game itself, it was a very, very kind of nice, positive sort of variant. So yeah, up to 165K. I can't be, we've got to be so close now, haven't we?
Yeah, absolutely. It's always invigorating when you have a good week after wildcard. It kind of puts you in a good mind frame for the rest of the season. Obviously, we've got 8 great game weeks to go. We're in a stronger position now. I'll move across to my team just ever so slightly ahead of you. I think there must be only like 5 or 6 points in it between us. It's still quite tight in and around these ranks. I got 73 points on wildcard as well. I think we only had 2 differences in our starting 11 that I can work out, which would be Saka and Darwin for me versus your Foden and Madison. So you're
Poro and Udogi matched each other.
Oh yeah, Poro, Udogi. Yeah, good shout. Obviously didn't make much difference this week. We returned 3 for the midfielder, Saka versus Foden, Darwin versus Madison was 2 each, as was Poro versus Udogi. So 73 points apiece. I'm up to 138K now anyway. So starting to get closer to 100K, which is where I'd be happy enough. I would like to push beyond that, obviously, but it's a good start. Couple of chips left to play, and barring the Lascelles injury in particular, I feel like it's set up quite nicely for the back few weeks. Obviously, we'll be going into Lascelles and potentially Gusto's injury later on, although it feels like Gusto's probably isn't as much of a big deal as things stand. Obviously, breaking news could come out whilst we're podding that he's out for 3 years or something, but it doesn't look quite as bad as Lascelles is. But yeah, overall, very, very happy. Vindicated, obviously, to have hit the button. And Captain Son, just like you, as soon as I saw Richarlison was a doubt, Son threw the centre against Luton. He had plenty of chances. He could have had more, as could Salah, by the way. But yeah, very happy overall. And move on to game week 31, I guess.
Yeah, good stuff. I mean, I think you sent me, didn't you, the video of him hitting one post and hitting the other post. And it's just like, oh, you know, it could have been so much better. But it is what it is. I mean, yeah. I was called Salah at least and could have matched Palmer. But yeah, I mean, we'll take it. Did you try a fantasy challenge, by the way? I think I kind of made a cursory effort, but I think it might be one that I'll devote more attention to next season once they finessed it a little bit. I don't know.
Exactly the same. I think I logged in once, set it up, didn't look at it again, and I ended up with Richarlison in my starting 11 and didn't mess with it after that. So that's how little attention I paid to it. But yeah, like you, it's a bit of fun. I'm happy enough to play it week in, week out, just on the side for 5 minutes a week at the moment, see how it goes. And then next year, if it becomes more of a serious thing, then who knows? Maybe we even dedicate more time to it. But for the time being, more than happy with the game we've got. And 5 minutes on the side, just setting up a bit of fun. No harm done, really. So I'm enjoying the fact that they're at least trying new things and not messing with the fundamental game that we love to start with. And then hopefully when they finesse things a bit, then maybe we get some shiny new things in FPL as well eventually.
Yeah, let's hope for that indeed. All right. So the first thing to talk about this week before we get on to kind of the week ahead, as I said, we're just going to aim for a short pod this week, is just addressing where we are really with everything in terms of the strategic side of what's going to happen for the rest of the season. So we both wildcarded. I was a little bit kind of 50-50 last week, whereas you were kind of 80-20 towards doing it. Thought about it for a while and I eventually did it as well. It won't spend too long here because we know someone interested, but for those who are, we both think it's worth reflecting on. It's kind of a post-decision wash-up. It's a bit of a horrible kind of sort of corporate term, but after a meeting you go and have a wash-up meeting sometimes to talk informally about what happened in that meeting or what you decided to do. So last week it was kind of more of a, yeah, as I mentioned, not really too sure. Whereas for you were kind of mostly set on pressing the button. I was between kind of that bench boost 34 idea and the bench boost 37 idea, which I eventually went with. The free hit obviously coming in 34 rather than 37. And yeah, I suppose the end of the season is always kind of this time really where you kind of, I guess you need to plan a lot more, don't you, Sam? And yeah, I suppose you were always kind of quite set on going with what you went with. And it kind of, it wasn't very long, was it, after the pod that you kind of pressed the button eventually?
Yeah, as soon as I had a bit of time to sit down and really map out the fixtures properly over a couple of hours, it became pretty obvious to me that my team was in no fit state, really, compared to what I could make it. And whilst there is a long time between the bench boost in 37 and wildcarding now, I felt that looking at the team that I could create, there was enough upside between now and then to gain me points in the meantime. And if it needed an extra hit down the line, I would have hopefully regained that in the time before that, in the difference between the team I had and the team I could get to in the period, mainly between 30 and 33. That was the key area I wanted to make sure I was going to find upside, because otherwise I could have done much like what I would have done on the other strategy, which is free hit even in 34 and then wildcarded straight out of it in 35 into a bench boost in 37. But I just didn't feel like I was happy with my team for the next 3 weeks regardless. And this wildcard team, ideally, didn't even have any transfers to make for a couple of weeks. Obviously, injuries will come into it and rotation will hit. So it's nice to have those transfers spare, because undoubtedly I will need them. But that was another swinging factor, knowing that I had a bit of a comfort blanket in a couple of spare transfers, that when lightning does inevitably strike on my team, which it already has with Lascelles, I do have transfers ready to use to sort me out for game week 37.
Yeah, I mean, you went for more of a final sort of setup, I guess, in some ways. Like, you had Onana, you had Ndoggy, like Saka in place, you had Darwin over Foden for me, whereas you're kind of, you know, saving Foden until later, whereas I kind of left Areola in place with a goalkeeper transfer on that game week 37 to come. That allowed me to keep Porro over Udogie, because I kind of looked at the underlying data and thought, you know what, I prefer Porro over Udogie. And then I had a 1 week punt on Maddison. I've got perfect money in the bank for Saka this week. And I've got Semenyo, the idea being the third forward kind of comes in later, rather than, you know, the way you round you've done it. Although you've got Garnacho, so maybe you won't want to mess with that too much anyway. Maybe kind of Saka or Salah becomes kind of a cheaper player to allow you to have your sort of third forward. And it's always interesting, isn't it? Kind of different ways of kind of setting it up. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, I was looking at it for a little while. There was kind of a couple of days where I was like, you know what, I'm pretty happy with kind of the bench boost 34 idea. And because the more I looked at it, especially when you look at, and there's something as well, if you're kind of thinking of wildcarding now into game week 34 bench boost, the one thing that I would advise you to do is try to figure out how you transition from a game week 34 bench boost into the 36 and 37 doubles. Like, it's just impossible, honestly, especially if you kind of consider that everybody else on the bench boost 37 strategy are going to have six players, assuming that Spurs and Chelsea double in 36. Like, it's just impossible to do it properly, unfortunately. And that kind of was the swinger that, yeah, maybe I'd have won, scored a few more points in 34. But I'd have lost those gains straight away in 36 and 37, where I'd been taking hits. You know, I think it's like kind of a -8, because you obviously don't want the Spurs players in 34 for bench boosting then. So you've got to kind of get two or three in, and Son is such a high price as well now. So if I'd have sold him, I'd be buying it back like 10.x. Just been impossible, basically. And that was like the main swinger for me, really, unfortunately. If that double wasn't kind of the rogue double and didn't exist, then I probably would have done the bench boost 34. It was just that kind of little thing there which meant that it wasn't worth it. And then the bench boost kind of 37, James Planet FPL was saying the one kind of key thing which kind of commends it is that the majority of the teams who are involved with that aren't in Europe, apart from Man City. And that again is really important, because, you know, normally you do have kind of spates of rotation around that time frame, but if those teams aren't in Europe, then the full focus is going to be on the league, no matter what their kind of focus is when it comes to that point. So it's not going to be the players' knacker from anything other than playing in the league. So I think it was okay. it kind of felt like the right thing to do, unfortunately. And so that's kind of where I am. yeah, got a good start this week. So yeah, what are you going to do? What are you going to say? But that sets us up, Sam, in kind of opposition to the mainstream. And the mainstream, as you kind of gave voice to a second ago, are going to be looking to wildcard in 35 and bench boost in 37. So there's going to be a short period now between 31 and 34. I'm guessing those are 35 wildcards are going to kind of start to kind of be very similar to our teams. Part of the reason I wildcarded, by the way, is just because the team was unaffordable, and it's completely unaffordable now if I was going to wildcard. So 2 days ago it wasn't, and that kind of again was a bit of a clincher. But I mean, what are the key sort of dangers, do you think, that, you know, the key opportunities for those who haven't wildcarded yet versus sort of the key dangers or threats that we face, depending on what's going on the screen, if you're watching on YouTube as well, is the kind of the hub fixture ticker. Other fixture tickers are available, which just shows kind of the different fixtures which are out there for different teams. And we'll go through a few of these teams in a minute. But what do you think those few kind of threats are for us?
Yeah, so the key one that they'll have in their pocket is information that we don't have. So they'll be able to wildcard fresh out of 34 with only a couple of weeks before 37 anyway, with a lot more information on rotation and, importantly, as we've already seen, injuries as well. So they'll be able to wildcard from a position of strength and probably optimize much better than we can without needing to take as many hits. That being said, I think the period now between 30 and 33, so obviously we've already had 30, but now it's the next three game weeks. That's an area where we would hope to take advantage, because we'll be able to go on the attack a little bit between 31 and 33. Also making sure that we're also set up for 37, so that is a drawback. But they will probably be wanting to dead end into 34. So all of their transfers now are going to be dedicated to teams that have to double in 34, or at least have a very, very good single game week fixture. Whereas we are both obviously looking to free hit that week. So we can avoid that and look at players with a slightly longer term horizon, and also attack in the short term too. So there is a give and take. I think ideally information is key here. So if you're wildcarding in 35, you're going to have that as a massive advantage. But injuries can still crop up between 35 and 37. So it's definitely not the be all and end all. And as you said, obviously things become less and less affordable as the season goes on. And some of the picks that hopefully we've brought in now will be less affordable by 35, and we'll have got them in before the price rises. So yeah, it's a give and take. No one knows which way is going to be the optimal way to play it at the moment, but 35 wildcarders certainly shouldn't be worried right now. They will have an opportunity to go on the offensive and have much more information than we will.
Definitely. The big difference this week, I think, does boil down to Isaac, to be honest. I mean, there was obviously, you know, for example, Connor Bradley getting the 4 points, the two bonus out of nowhere, basically. But I mean, that sort of thing is kind of by the by. It is kind of one big performance which really has helped us a lot and provided a bit of a bulwark against Ollie Watkins, which has been very nice. I suspect that bulwark is now slightly diluted. I'm sure both those people are now swapping Watkins for Isaac. But you know, I was talking him up for the last few weeks, so you know, I was very happy to see him return. And there's a few other things, you know, that if you are kind of on the route to 34, there are going to be huge opportunities for you over likes of us. So you're going to have Bournemouth defenders, and you're likely to have Bournemouth attacker, because I don't think there's much point in us having a Bournemouth attacker. Some people who are wildcarding 31 may kind of opt for Solanke, for price reasons or whatever. And the 3-4-3 may have Haaland, Solanke, Isaac. But you know, that in itself is different. Bournemouth defence is different. So a good fixture against Crystal Palace coming up in 31. Luton in 32, you know, they always score. And then Man United at home in 33. And you've also got, you know, the probable double Arsenal defence. You're probably going to be kind of looking to triple up on Liverpool at some point soon, especially maybe even ahead of this the Sheffield United game. And I don't know, triple Liverpool. I know you do, Sam. But you know, it may not quite have worked for a lot of people to kind of go that way, especially if you're wildcarding now. So there are going to be differences that are going to be exploitable. That's for sure. And I don't know, I suppose that the likes of Son, the likes of Palmer, I suppose most people are going to go towards Salah now. for me, it's kind of, you know, having the power five, I guess, in midfield. So Foden, Saka, Palmer, Salah, Son. Was very attractive on side having Haaland and then the other striker being who he was. But I'm sure most people can get there with transfers pretty easily. I know a lot of people rolled this week, for example. So actually, even though the end of the season can be quite formulaic, I guess, like there's always going to be opportunities in there, even if they are smaller and smaller. But that's kind of the nature of the game, I guess, right now. Turning to, I guess, kind of the next kind of few weeks. So I know that 31's hairing up, and we'll talk about sort of that in the acute detail in not very long. There are a few teams, obviously, that are of real interest for the next kind of up until game week 34, shall we say, if you're looking to wildcard in 35. I mean, there are teams like Everton, Wolves here, Sam, and Bournemouth as well, as I've referenced, and also Crystal Palace, who may kind of be on the radar. Maybe not Palace, actually, because they've got City in 32 and Arsenal and Liverpool in 33. They're not the best two fixtures in the world, are they? But, I mean, would you be? I guess you've got to be loading up on these players right now, alongside, obviously, Liverpool up next, Sheffield United at home, Arsenal up next, losing at home. It's just logical, really, to be pulling into these kind of teams. Are there any players, especially, you'd be thinking, yeah, you know what, these are guys I need to tick off, essentially, ahead of 34, when you're just playing through, not using a chip, and just going into the double as it is?
Yeah, so like you say, I think triple Liverpool and triple Arsenal will have to be the priority if you're just playing through to 34 now. So obviously both have great home fixtures this week. There is obviously also going to be slight doubts around which ones, especially in Liverpool's 11 at the moment, are going to survive all the way to 34. So despite the fact they have a good fixture this week, buying the likes of Darwin or Connor Bradley, for instance, might not be as simple as it might seem on paper, because you're probably trying to set up intentionally for players that definitely will play in 34. Now, Darwin, I can't remember exactly which week it runs out. Is it 33 or 34 that Darwin's yellow cards tick over? But he's on at 8 yellows at the moment, isn't he? So two more.
32. I think it's 32 games. I think it's 32 games played when that
okay.
happens. I'm 100%
okay.
Sure.
So he would need two yellow cards in the next two games, I believe.
Yeah,
so that is obviously unlikely to happen. And I'm sure he's been told that you can't be getting two yellows at this point in the season, please. So he might be a bit safer. But Connor Bradley, for instance, I think despite his price, he's going to be very tough to aim for ahead of 34, because Trent looks like he's going to be back before then. Kelleher as well, we're getting mixed reports of when Ellison's going to be back, so he's quite hard to pick up. So Salah's really the only obvious one that you absolutely need to get back to for Liverpool, and after that it's kind of pick your own battles a little bit. With Arsenal, it might be a little bit more simple. So Saka, one of the defenders, I'd say Gabriel is the obvious one. Although the likes of Benjamin White, rather, Saliba as well, Raya in goal, are all very tempting picks. And of course, Havertz has been playing pretty well as well at 7.2. So there are plenty of options there. And I feel like you know Arsenal's strongest starting 11 better than Liverpool's at the moment, in terms of which ones are going to survive till 34 at least. So prioritising those makes a lot of sense. And then after that, Solanke is an obvious buy if you're playing through, because they've got great fixtures up until that point, and you'll have very high ownership come 34. Maybe an Everton defender, Branthwaite or Pickford, also makes a lot of sense too.
Definitely. I think the only thing to obviously bear in mind is the buying games, which sandwich the Aston Villa game in 33,
absolutely,
before the Wolves game, and you're very, very tired teams. So there might be that Wolves game is the rotation pickup for Arsenal. Obviously, it's something that it's very difficult to sort of it's very difficult to legislate for that right now, because it makes sense to be buying in these players, especially ahead of Luton. I don't know. I think if you are sat there with one defender and Saka, on Saka, by the way, I'm sure you've seen this by the time this goes out anyway, but Arteta has said there's no issue with Saka. He was just fatigued. That's the reason that he got subbed. So there's no injury worries to deal with there. But if you've got like a Gabriel and you've got a Saka, maybe you'd be considering like a defender pick, or maybe Odegaard. I think those are the only two I'd kind of really be looking at with any certainty. The rest of it is all up in the air, really. Like, as boring as it is, as you said, maybe it is a Benjamin White, a Benny Blanco. Oh, I miss Benny. I do. I hated him for a long time. Now I grew to love him.
It was a toxic relationship.
threw him out because I had to, and I want him back. Yeah, it was really toxic. but the fixtures aren't that great, are they, really? Luton game is obviously a big sort of carrot. Brighton game, well, they can score. They can definitely score. The Villa game, surely the minds are going to be on the Champions League. And then you're in the Chelsea and Wolves games, and those can be quite difficult. I don't know, maybe if you do have the option between the defence and the midfield there of Arsenal, maybe you would be looking at the double midfield as it stands. I wouldn't spend too much time thinking about the City game. Like, I think that that game, we'll say, see in the bold claims, I think that both managers didn't want to lose, effectively, and that kind of seemed pretty clear straight away in the game in terms of how both teams were set up. I'm ready to be stood corrected by someone who's more kind of tactically astute than I am, but that's kind of the way I looked at it. But yeah, that Luton game as well, surely a kind of a hefty carrot. And I imagine as well that if you are going to go for double midfield, most people who are free hitting and 34 are going to be getting the double midfield as well. So maybe that could be quite fun to do. But, you know, if you've got double defence, wouldn't worry about it. You know, we've got the best XGC by an awfully long way in the league at the moment. And I'm a bit worried, Sam, almost about the Luton game. Because, you know, if we do keep a clean sheet, and you know, I assume we're both gonna have Saka and one and Gabriel. If if there's something else other than that kind of happens, then yeah, that could be quite a big sort of liability for us. But there you go. And then Liverpool as well. I don't know. Would you be buying Darwin this week, for example, Sam? So maybe you'd be looking at selling Watkins. There's a Sheffield United game in front of you. Do you have any concerns about Darwin?
It's a difficult one. So there are different ways to interpret what I saw today, but I thought he looked really good. He didn't really get a sniff in front of goal, but his pressing from the front was brilliant. We know Klopp loves that. And his positional awareness seems to be getting much better as well. So I personally think he was taken off a slight tad earlier. I think it was around 80 minutes because they want to keep him fresh for the midweek game because he is just that important. But there are other ways of interpreting that. He did withdraw from international duty with a small injury. So maybe he could only manage 80 minutes and he's going to be rested in midweek, and they were getting Gakpo up to full fitness with minutes in his legs, ready to start in midweek as well. So it could go either way. As an owner, there is not a single universe that I'm going to be looking at selling him this week, but I am crossing my fingers a little bit and just hoping that he does get good minutes, because it's definitely not a certainty. For what it's worth, though, if it's even 30 minutes at the end against Sheffield United, I do kind of still fancy it. Would I be buying him this week? I think just the fact it's Sheffield United would be enough to push me over the edge and say, yeah, go on, I'll have a punt on it. But it is a risk.
Feel you. Yeah, it's rock and a hard place, really, isn't it? I'm happy to let that go until I get more information before the free hit.
This is 34. Why I wanted him in 30 rather than 31, because then I didn't have to make that decision.
Fair. No, I won't be looking at it until 34. I'm happy in the 3-5-2, but that's by the by. And if you're wildcarding now, I suppose that, again, there's a similar question. You're dealing with kind of the issues that Sam raised there. And there are a couple of other teams, Sam, as well, just to kind of round off this little section here. Everton, mm-hmm. atop of the fixture ticker, with Newcastle away. Obviously, on paper, that's a difficult fixture, but they can't defend. They didn't have a defence. Everyone's injured. Burnley at home in 32. Chelsea away in 33. The double game, both games at home, and that Forest game, the PSR derby, and then Liverpool, and then you've got Wolves on the other hand as well. Gary O'Neill was fairly sort of phlegmatic about the situation they were in. He said, we lost this week 2-0, and it was just a case that, you know, I had to do what I could with the players that I had. But Burnley up next midweek, depending on who's back for that. West Ham 32, as discussed, not the strongest defence out there, and there's evidence again with Newcastle managing to score the four. Well, you know, Harvey Barnes' second goal, though. What a goal that was. Awesome. 33, Nottingham Forest away. And then Arsenal and Bournemouth, the double is not the best in the world, but it's not the worst. I mean, it's probably kind of quite limited, really, to Ain't Nori or maybe then kind of Sarabia just for X-Mins or Wolves. But, I mean, both those teams potentially, I mean, you could start to kind of fill out the edge pieces there, and maybe they are kind of ideal enablers if you are looking to bring in the likes of Salah, aren't they, really?
Yeah, absolutely. I think those edge pieces are going to be really important, especially if you are one of those that is on a bench boost 34 strategy. Sarabia is a great budget enabler, by the way, as well. Good for X minutes. Data's actually pretty decent too. I think I remember back, was it around game week 26 or game week 27? People were really, we brought in Hwang, but there was a lot of discussion about Sarabia's data. And yeah, so he's still ticking along pretty well. So yeah, Wolves are not a team that we should absolutely ignore. Like you mentioned, the fixtures before game week 34 are probably good enough that you could eye up bringing them in ahead of time, especially Ait Nouri with such limited amounts of defenders at the moment in the game that we're even half interested in. He's a player that is regularly finding himself in the box and getting chances now. So yeah, would not mind that as a punt at all. And even if you aren't free hit, even if you are free hitting in 34, the fixtures around that are still pretty good and probably good enough to consider him anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't mind that at all. And yeah, outside of that, I think we'll kind of go into that in a minute in the 31 preview. And I think we should probably start that, Sam, with bold claims this week before we move into the preview proper. It's now 8-5 to me, I think.
Yeah.
After
you're on ahead of the streak.
I am. After this week's prediction went very well for me. But yeah, you weren't very far away, were you? It was just a very, very slight offside call, and you'd have been in with a last minute assist for Tony. If he had scored the first goal, who knows what would have happened? But yeah, slightly offside and the right decision too.
Yeah, and Andy hit the post as well. His finishing boots weren't quite laced correctly over the weekend, but it was a man of the match performance. He did incredibly well against that Man United back line. So yeah, not a double digit haul. And this was mainly hedging against the fact I was wildcarding anyway. So I was still quite relieved to see him not get many points, knowing that I'd sold him on the wild card. But yeah, nevertheless, I've lost another point to you. So I have to bow to your superior bold claim knowledge at this point.
Yeah, I had City Arsenal 0-0, and that so it proved basically my suspicion was exactly what played out, that both teams didn't want to lose effectively. Yeah. And it was a very boring drab game as per my experience of the games that are like that, when they are meant to be kind of built up as being kind of title deciders, blah blah blah. They always tend to be draws, and that game was no exception at all. I've forgotten it already. Right. For the week ahead, Sam, where are you with this?
So again, I'm hedging once again, but I do fancy Gakpo to get decent minutes, whether that's for Luis Diaz or for Darwin. And it seems logical that he'd come in and get reasonable minutes anyway. And against Sheffield United, I back him to get a couple of returns. So he's my bold claim for this week, 10 points or more for Gakpo. To either break my heart with a Darwin benching or hopefully alongside a Darwin haul.
Well, you know that Darwin's non-penalty open 90 is pretty elite, so you'll probably be all right. You know, come off and score an assist or get a couple of FPL assists effectively through,
or just a yellow card.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of been the procedure, hasn't it, recently? But you know, we are optimism. We're optimists now, aren't we, Sam? That's the way that's the way we look at things. We don't say these things. We say that you can come off the bench and at least get a couple of assists for you if he is benched at all. And I am going for in the Arsenal versus Luton game, both teams to score in both halves. I I know our defence is probably the best in the league. I wonder whether Luton will go hell for leather in that game. And I wonder how we're going to approach that, especially after a very, very high octane game against City. It's 10-1 on Paddy Power, so it is a bold claim.
It's definitely bold.
According to the bookies. So both teams to score both halves. I think Arsenal probably wins, 4-2 or something like that. But BTTS, both halves, is my bold claim for the week in Arsenal versus Luton. Cool. All right. So,
very nice. I like that one.
Yeah. Took a while to get there. So game week 31 then. There's a few key issues here. Wildcarders, what they do now. Let's look at kind of where we are compared to them. And then for everybody else, and including them as well to some extent, best caps in and best transfers in. So the best wildcard teams now, I think it's interesting to reflect on because obviously we're both locked in. We've got our wildcard teams. We're kind of stuck with them. Albeit, I've already got a plethora of flags in my team. Lascelles gone for the rest of the year. Gusto, We don't know what's going on with him. I've got Areola now for the first time in weeks. Get him in straight away. He's injured. So living the Areola experience like many of you are living. So I don't know. What would you do now, Sam? Would you kind of go basically the same structure? I think probably I would. I just kind of maybe kind of have a bit more flex around the edge pieces. So Van Hecker over Lascelles, for example, probably be in. I don't know, maybe I'd still go with, like you have, with Onana over Areola. Gusto can obviously go in the bin, and a few other bits and pieces. But broadly, I think our kind of structure is very, very similar. I don't really think that it differs too much if you're wildcarding now, if you have that free hit in the pocket. If you don't, then maybe it's a little bit different. Then maybe you do start to kind of take on board what we were saying earlier on about the upcoming fixtures and building your team around the triple Arsenal, triple Liverpool sort of look up. Just remember, as I said earlier on, to figure out how you're going to get to three or four Chelsea and Spurs players in 35 and 36. Maybe that's a role in 35 into 36. And that's really kind of, it's a bit ahead, right? But at this time of the year, that's what you got to do. You got to plan ahead. And even if it doesn't kind of work out, then so be it. Because right now, you've got to just know where you're going to go with whatever team you're going to build. If you're wildcard now, or you'll become taking transfers into, if you're taking transfers into 34. Best wildcard team, Sam, any sort of differences you think that you'd make compared to what we've done?
Yeah, so I think Connor Bradley would probably be a sacrifice if I was to wildcard now. I very much wanted him for 2 weeks, possibly three at an absolute stretch, but one of those fixtures is now out of the way. So with one less transfer to use later on, I'd probably not be taking a risk on him now, knowing that Trent is fairly close to coming back. I think he's good for midweek, but for a one-week punt, I'm not sure I'd take that risk now. Especially as Lascelles is also now completely out. So having that without the Lascelles backup, I'd probably sacrifice Bradley and Lascelles, probably bring in the likes of Van Hecker, as you mentioned, and maybe even look at Branthwaite. No double in 37, but a good fixture against Sheffield United, and it might just be worth the money. The other one that might be creeping into a few would be Maguire, although with centre-backs coming back for Man United, it does look like maybe his position could be under threat at some point. So probably wouldn't take a risk on that now. Generally speaking, I don't think there's anything I'd change in my front eight. It's just defensive stuff that I'd maybe mix around a tad. But again, not a great deal. You mentioned earlier that the Chelsea double defence might be a mistake. And I think I messaged you at the time when they conceded to Burnley with 10 men. Even as I'm saying this, I realise it's definitely a mistake. But they've got good fixtures. They're really, really cheap. You can have them on the bench, or at least one of them on the bench for most weeks. And Gusto did look objectively very good.
Good
data. 0.68 XGI per 90. Well, and XGI, not per 90, because it was a match. He had a good game. It's just Chelsea cannot keep the ball out of the net. So bit frustrating, but I still think I'd do it again now, to be honest, and just roll those guys. Yeah, I think I'd just get... There's so limited defenders I'd want anyway. Look at how many clean sheets were kept. Is it like two?
I mean, you've been saying for weeks, haven't you? Just when we get to wildcard, sack off the defence entirely.
Literally.
Certainly would be the way I'd go, unless I was kind of concerned about bench boosting in 34. Because then obviously you're looking at Gabriel, White, and probably Van Dijk. Other than that, screw it. Like, what's the point? You might as well just kind of decimate it entirely. Maybe obviously have a Gabriel for this week, and I think we're both looking to sell him, aren't we, in 33? So, it is kind of what it is, and just decimate it. You know, go old school, go 2016 style, and just have all guns blazing in the attack, be it a 3-4-3 or a 3-5-2. I mean, I think, you know, I was a big fan of the 3-5-2 just because I love that power five midfield, right? But that's predicated on me not having Sol Foden, so I've had him for quite cheap. He's obviously not really performed for a little while, so that may be different going forward. But at the moment, you know, I'm quite happy to have him in, but I can completely understand whether if you want to go for the 3-4-3 and have Isak, Haaland and Darwin in place. I mean, absolutely fine with that. I think it'd be very similar to us now. And I think that, you know, just make sure that you kind of have a think about that 30, that 36 and what you're going to do, how you're going to look at it. If you're going for the 34, think about that 36. And otherwise, you know, if you're not wildcarding now, I think you're probably okay. As I mentioned earlier on, you're probably golden, really, because you're always working towards that 34. That's to worry about. Teams like Newcastle don't really have to worry about, you know, teams like City or whatever. If you don't have Foden, just don't worry about it. I know the fixtures are pretty good for City, but you can probably do enough in this place to kind of make it work. Just make sure you've got a kind of an exit plan from the Spurs players going forward. Captain this week, Sam, it's going to be Mo Salah, isn't it? I really can't see any kind of real temptation elsewhere. I mean, I know that West Ham, for example, have a terrible defence, and maybe looking at Son. Palmer's got Man United at home, so there's definitely kind of expanse there. And Haaland against Villa. He's at home. I don't think I'm really going to be going there. So I think it's going to all be about Salah, unless you're kind of really kind of a glutton for punishment and you're looking at Darwin Captain or something like that.
I mean, that would be a lot of fun, but no, too rich for my blood. For me, it's between Saka or Salah. Obviously, Saka going off with apparently nothing is going to probably put off a few more people. And as well, we're quite results driven, aren't we, generally as human beings? So seeing Salah score and Saka not is probably another thing that maybe non-consciously swings it towards Salah just that little bit more. But the data is better. Obviously, Liverpool against Sheffield United, you'd expect a number of goals. So yeah, I think it'll be pretty hard to ignore Salah this week or 2 weeks in a row after we did this week. Nonetheless, Saka, if he does get good minutes, is also a good captaincy option this week. I'm just personally on Salah, and I don't think I'm going to overthink it on this one.
Yeah, no, that's literally what it comes down to, isn't it? Just don't overthink it. Sheffield United at home, you could be thinking, oh yeah, you know, Sheffield United, they're going to put up a low block, blah, blah, blah. They're going to be like Milan in the 1980s. No, let's not go down that road, because it is often the road to ruin. There's a reason why he is projected to score very highly. The other thing, Sam, if you do have triple captain left, could this be the week?
It could be. I think it is dependent what other chips you've got left as well. If you've only got a triple captain left and you don't need to worry about a bench boost or a free hit, then I'd probably look at using your triple captain in the double. But if you've still got free hit and bench boost left to go, then single game weeks are probably going to become more tempting, because the only other one, the only other double is going to be either 35 or 36, where you're probably looking at either Son or Palmer as a triple captain option. Whereas if you've got 34 or 37 open to you because you're not using a different chip those weeks, then you've got a double game week Salah away at Fulham and Everton in 34, or potentially Haaland in 37, or a couple of other peripheral options in those weeks as well. I think if you've got all of your chips left or two bench boost free hit left as well, then a single game week probably comes into it. And don't really mind Sheffield United at home for Salah at all as an option. It seems pretty reasonable and about as good as a single game week could be. So yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
No, fair play. All right, so best transfers in then across the positions. I think we've kind of already kind of started to pull up this thread a little bit. So defence loading up on Arsenal and Liverpool. I think Benny Blanco is the one who mentioned was bringing in. He had the price rise the other day, Sam. So I was a trailblazer there. That now
started the movement.
Got out of the driving seat. Other people have quite a few transfers in for the ex Tom FC man. 55k now. Van Dijk as well being bought in by managers, and Ike Nori as well on the list. I suppose a lot of it's situational, really. Likes of Walker being sold, likes of Cash who picks up an injury, playing for Poland being sold, and you know, likes of Doughty, Trippier, all of these kind of guys being kind of turfed out. I think that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? I mean, for us, it's kind of a source of worry potentially next week. I mean, I think probably we'll have Gabriel, and you know, if my bold claim comes to pass, then I think it'll probably be all right. Like, I don't know, I can see losing scoring, to be honest. I don't see that as being kind of a gimme clean sheet for Arsenal by any means. But if it does happen, then, you know, fair play. And we've got kind of, I don't think people are going to be doubling up Liverpool defence. So, you know, we've got Bradley, I think we'll probably be okay there. There's no kind of real standout defenders, are there? But Ben White, the highest scoring defender in the game at the moment. Saliba with the one bonus point tonight, coming up behind him very, very slightly. It's just kind of 5 or 6 points in it, something like that. That has to be the way to go, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, I think especially if you're not free hitting in 34, Arsenal defence does make a lot of sense this week. They are getting a little bit more expensive, but I still think they're probably decent value for money. For what it's worth, though, I think we touched on it a little bit earlier, but later on, they've got some fixtures I'd expect them to win, but fixtures I'd also expect them to concede in more often than not. So I don't know how long you'd want double defence for, but they are the best defence in the league by quite a long way. So they could keep a clean sheet against anyone, as we saw today as well. So yeah, good, sensible transfers in, especially if it's Gabriel as one of the cheaper of the entry routes to the Arsenal defence. Does make a lot of sense. Virgil van Dijk's a weird one. I don't know if I'd be going there personally.
It's X-Men's, isn't it? That's reality. Like, you know that he's going to play. For the next
absolutely
every game. It doesn't matter, and that's the reason why people are going there. I think.
Yeah, that does make sense. I think more strategically what it could do to your side, especially midfield and attack. But I haven't mapped it out, so maybe I'm just being a bit ignorant there, because maybe it doesn't actually do that much to the rest of your side. But yeah, that's one I found a little bit odd when I first saw the show notes today, that Van Dijk was being bought so heavily. But yeah, it could make a lot of sense in different situations. I think I'd need to free up another like 2.5-3 million to get there, so it's not on my mind at all personally.
Yeah, fair play. That's the difference, isn't it? And that's Van Dijk scores a towering header. Third bottom for SGC as well, as in kind of third best. So you know, there's definitely a lot of things to commend Virgil to you. Sheffield United game up next, and as discussed, a fair few okay games. So the United game in 32, but Palace in 33, and then Fulham and Everton for 34. I suspect, you know, we'll be looking at him, maybe Robertson or whatever on our free hit as well, Sam. And it may all be that Van Dijk ends up getting on for our wild card, for our free hits too, just because, you know, you'd be looking at X bullet header, really.
Yeah,
that's probably gonna
free hits fine. I would definitely consider him on a free hit. But yeah, just mainly because I'm not going to be using all my money that week. If he was the same price as the other defenders, then yeah, he'd be straight in already. But it's just the money and what else I think I can do with it. That's all.
Oh, certainly, I'm rubbing my hands together for that free hit week. It's gonna be so much fun.
Yeah,
triple Arsenal attack, triple Liverpool attack. Let's LFG. as a midfield, Sam, I was surprised to see loads of people buying in Son. I think that's going to be people who haven't got the memo, I'd imagine. it's not those transfers yet, but 28,000 transfers in, which makes him the third most bought midfielder this week. that's got to be people who haven't got the memo. He's done a goal. fine. And yeah, you know, I've still got him. You still got him. That's we're free hitting. And even if you bought him this week, just gone. I mean, it's still West Ham, who are a terrible defence. Nottingham Forest are a terrible defence. And Newcastle are a terrible defence. Nets free. So fair play. I understand that entirely. And it's the usual suspects. It's Salah. It's Palmer. And also, it's Foden as well. He's the fourth most bought midfielder in this week. I don't really understand Foden, but the rest of them just shaping up, aren't they, as we've sort of covered already. Oh, it's also formulaic now. I mean, I was very excited a little while ago saying, you know what, it's also exciting. People can kind of follow sort of slightly different ways to do it. But at the moment, it is quite straightforward, I feel like, as we kind of funnel towards that 34 or funnel towards that kind of eventual kind of 37 bench boost in a lot of ways.
Yeah, agreed. And I think especially in midfield, that's where the least flexibility is in transfers at the moment. There are, like you mentioned, a pretty clear power five, and you are the owner of four of those five. I think you'll be the owner of all five of them come game week 31. I'll have four of them. I think most people will have at least three. So it makes sense that these players are being bought. I think Son... yeah, maybe some people have missed the memo of 34, but if you're planning to free hit, then you're not worried about that at all and you're buying him anyway. Although I'd probably wonder why you didn't already have him, because he's been brilliant. But again, it's situation dependent. And then, yeah, Palmer, Salah makes a lot of sense for many, many reasons. Foden, it maybe there's an element of you look at the top scoring midfielders as well. He's right up there. He's got good data. They've got good fixtures for the next 3 weeks. Maybe you're not thinking, you're planning too far ahead. Yes, he's blank today, been taken off on 60-ish minutes, but maybe that, again, a bit like Darwin earlier, that maybe that just locks him in that little bit more for midweek. And against Villa, I back him to do pretty well. And then I think Luton's on the horizon. Is it 33 they've got Luton, or is it 32?
Yeah, 33, 32 is passed, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, good, decent fixtures up until the free hit, or up until, sorry, the 34 double. And again, if you're free hitting in 34, then perfect, because you've got him for good fixtures up until then, and then you've got him for the double in 37 as well. So yeah, I think the power five are that for a reason. They are all stand out, quite clear picks with good underlying data. Many of them, other than Foden, are also on penalties as well. So yeah, tick a lot of boxes.
It will be said, obviously, that it was due to pricing, why you can now afford this. But let's not forget, every year this happens, where you've got a power five midfield or something like that. It always kind of works out that there's a certain kind of combination of players that you just buy that over the course of the year have proven themselves to be incredibly consistent. And you know, Palmer, let's not forget, his price being so ludicrously low at the start of the year, which you can't blame FPL for. Let's be fair. Who'd heard of Cole Palmer really before last year, apart from a really nice goal at the end of last season?
And no one expected him to be this. That's the thing. And he's unlocked everything. Like, having Cole Palmer just means that you can afford pretty much all of those other midfielders we've been harping on about. So, yeah, that's what's made this all so accessible.
That's it. And for Cole Palmer, Reed, you know, Josh King from years gone by, honestly, yeah, it's just that sort of player where it is what it is, and you just kind of take it with both hands, and kind of just let it sort of work. And for me, it was kind of not owning Saka this week. It was just because I kind of had a 1 week punt on a player who's playing Luton, and next week he moves on to another player who's playing Luton. So, you know, it made a lot of sense. And yeah, you can do things like that especially if you're building towards kind of an eventual wild card. And I think maybe game week 33 is a good example of that, for example. So Brentford that week are at home, Sheffield United. So maybe that would be the week that you kind of, if you've got kind of a spare transfer knocking around, you just kind of pile into an Mbeumo, or maybe even get a Tony in, thinking, you know, you get some information on a Darwin, and then you kind of swap them over potentially for the double. And maybe that's something you can start looking at now. honestly, I mean, this week coming, yeah, it's midweek, so it's a little bit tricky. Burnley, you're obviously going to be targeting a few of the key teams out there. So, you know, Burnley are playing Wolves, and maybe you probably wouldn't be looking at any Wolves players as it stands. Arsenal-wise, as discussed, maybe you'll be looking at Odegaard, maybe looking at Havertz, you know, for that game, potentially. Mm. And Liverpool playing Sheffield United. Yeah, I mean, Sam's given his backing to Gakpo. So maybe that could be you just taking the pricey advice. Is the price is right? Are you definitely going to be backing that up? I mean, yeah, if you do that, let us know. You know, why not? If you've got two free transfers right now and you just think, you know what, I've got a forward spot to play with, Watkins, who knows what's going to happen with him. I'm going to move him on. I need to plug that gap this week. Yeah, someone like that. Absolutely, why not, to be honest? Because you can have a lot of fun with it at the moment, to be honest. Like, I really think you can. And you know, I'll be looking at that. Well, actually, I won't be looking at that anymore because my transfers are all kind of planned in, which is kind of fun and kind of not too. But yeah, there we go. And we haven't bored anyone with our kind of list of transfers going forward, but both of us have got very, very full FPL.team drafts hanging around. And finally, forwards this week, Sam. It's no surprise either of us, we backed him to the hilt, spoke about him for weeks on end, Alexander Isak, already up 0.1 from 5% EO, whatever it was last week. He's now owned by 14%, up to 7.6 million, 100,000 transfers in for Isak, a Swedish legend, the heir to Ibrahimovic. I mean, yeah, great. I love the guy. Without Mr. Gordon, maybe there's some questions about him. Maybe we'll be looking at Darwin or, you know, your man Muniz. Yeah, good fixture against Nottingham Forest coming up, and then the gruesome twosome, Newcastle and West Ham for the next two for Fulham. Not quite on the beach yet, as shown by their stirring comeback in Sheffield United, although maybe that's just kind of trying to save face a little bit. But maybe, you know, after they beat West Ham, it'll be all over. But that's very good, especially if you're looking again to buy Salah. Maybe you're getting rid of Watkins for Muniz, and then you're kind of then able to upgrade someone else to Salah. So maybe that makes a lot of sense for you. Quite a few transfers out there, Sam. For me this week, if I wasn't going to be punting on Maddison, I was going to be punting on keep leaving Watkins in, and then bringing Salah, bringing Haaland back. Sorry, so yeah, 1 point gain for me through not doing that. But again, it's not kind of replete with loads of different kind of punt options, really, is it? Unless you are, of course, out there buying Gakpo. Didn't you have to, in your game week one, your first ever video on your channel, didn't you have Gakpo in your draft?
He was my thumbnail. Yeah, my first ever thumbnail. That's a bit of a pub quiz question in years to come. A very bad pub quiz question, may I add. But
before YouTube celebrity FPL Pricey became famous.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But yeah, so I did back him at the start of the season. I went off of him very quickly when it became clear he wasn't in their favoured starting 11, but He does have talent. He is a good footballer. I did quite a lot of research on him when Southampton was sniffing around him at the start of last season before Liverpool swooped in and got him, I think, in January.
Yeah, of course you were. Yeah.
This is why I'm so soft on him, because I know a bit more about him. I was following him during the World Cup, obviously, as well, thinking maybe there's still a hope. And then Liverpool, yeah, obviously went and swooped in a player far, far beyond our station. But yeah, I mean, if he gets minutes, that's why it's a bold claim, right? I don't know he'll get the minutes, but if he does, I'd back him to do well against Sheffield United. Outside of that, though, you joked about Muniz being my man. Obviously, I haven't bought him on the wild card, but I was very tempted to. And he just looks phenomenal at the moment. Like his bicycle kick, overhead kick, whatever you want to label it, was sensational. He's also just trying some really audacious things, even outside the bicycle kick. If you watch Match of the Day, he tried like a sort of rainbow flick and that went just slightly over the bar or something. It was very, very bizarre. But the kid's got confidence. So I back him to continue doing quite well. And at that price point, he enables a hell of a lot of other stuff. So yeah, wouldn't be looking far beyond him either.
Cool. All right. Well, I mean, that's kind of it, I suppose. Let's look at our teams, I suppose, to end. Not loads going on, I don't think, for either of us. I mean, as mentioned, I'm getting the Power Five. There was a bit of kind of intrigue a minute ago, a hot second ago, before Arteta said that, you know, Saka's just fatigued, it's absolutely fine. I suppose that he and any of us watching could have told that game was going to end 0-0, barring a moment of barring a mistake or something. So, yeah, Saka's coming in for Maddison for me, perfect money. So I'm at 0.0 after doing that. No, I'm at 0.1 actually, because Saka fell last night. So I've got 0.1 million wiggle room to spend eventually on getting the cells up to someone else. All the excitement, Sam, I can barely contain myself. But yeah, that's kind of the way it is. So Petrovic in goal, Bradley, Gabriel, Porro at the back, Foden, Saka, Palmer, Salah and Son in the Power Five. Salah the captain, and then Haaland and Isak up front. I'm very, very happy with that team. Who gives a shit about the defence? All about that Power Seven at the front. It's brilliant. I really love having it, to be honest with you. Just leave it and love it for the rest of the year. And you know, you're in a very similar situation, aren't you? Apart from owning Foden, but I mean, that's by the by.
Yeah, so it's Foden versus Darwin, really, between us this week. So obviously I've got a doggy as well instead of Porro, so that's a slight disadvantage for me, I guess. But yeah, very happy to have Darwin if he does start. Again, fingers crossed on that one. But generally speaking, more than happy to roll the transfer here. Yes, I know Lascelles is out for the season, but I don't have any money in the bank, so I can't do anything about that right now regardless. So I will be holding on to him for a couple of weeks until I make another transfer, enable some buying power and probably upgrade him to a Van Hecker or maybe even a Branthwaite, depending on how hot I am on the Everton defence.
It's the situation we're in now, isn't it? It's just, as Anthony used to say, rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic.
Yeah,
It's just that. And then by 37, obviously just selling Salah is the thing that we're going to do. And then you've got loads of money. So potentially, you know, Lascelles, he's not needed. I mean, we've got him and Gusto. But you know, we'll make a defensive transfer at some point just to make sure we've got three. And then you can work all that out later on down the line. It's all good, really, isn't it? So yeah, same as you. I'm not worried at all.
Yeah, exactly. And this was half the point of the wild card as well. It was with free transfers in mind. I made sure that I had at least two that I had no plan for before we get to 34. And then if injuries do crop up, then I've got time and transfers to react to it. So yeah, it's happened. One of the players has crocked, but I've got time and I've got transfers to deal with it. So fingers crossed that my brain engages at some point in the next week or two and I figure out a solution, because I haven't quite yet, but it'll come to me. It'll be fine.
Hope people will buy Connor Bradley. That's what I want, because we both got 0.1, get a 0.1 profit.
That'd be great.
In the hood, then Van Hecker and Dallo, I think, coming for Gabriel, and Lascelles in 33. Beautiful. Absolutely perfect. Happy with that. Set up for going forward. And that's it. I mean, it's not the longest pod in the world, but it is 2 days until the next game week, and that's just the way it is right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was a short one today, just over an hour though, so hopefully you got something from it. And in the meantime, thank you all so much once again for listening. We'll be back later on in the week to assess the lay of the land after game week 31 ahead of 32. In the meantime though, we have been Who Got the Assist. You can find us on X at WGTA_FPL and myself on X at FPL Pricey. On Instagram and Threads, it's WGTA.FPL. And again, I'm just FPL Pricey on there. If you did enjoy the pods, if you could follow us on those social channels, that would be greatly appreciated. But also, if you could leave the pod a 5-star rating wherever you're listening to it. And of course, if you're watching along on YouTube, if you could leave a like and subscribe to the channel, that would be very, very helpful for the both of us.
Cool. All right. Thanks very much, Sam. We hope you enjoyed the pod. I hope you had a great Easter. FPL now speeds up once more as we hustle towards the business end. We'll be back on Thursday, I believe it is. We'll probably be on around sort of half-time Liverpool, Sheffield United game, something around that. I'm off for a couple of weeks, but I know you're not. So I think we'll kind of do it kind of fairly early on that day. But either way, we hope this is due, and we'll speak to you very, very soon.
Oh, it's a goal. Who got the assist? Who got the assist?
Social Podcast Network.